Hi, everyone. Good morning. I'm Melissa Anderson. I'm one of the selection committee members. Please join me in welcoming writer-director of Barbara, Christian Petzold.
Shall we?
Christian, hello. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. You can hear me too?
Yes. We can hear and see you. Everything is great. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your amazing film. I will start the press conference by asking you a few questions, and then I will open it up to the ladies and gentlemen here. This is your fifth film with the magnificent Nina Hoss, and I'm wondering, was Barbara written exclusively with her in mind?
In this movie, I have written down exclusively with her in my mind. We have many walkings and discourse walkings, uh-huh. And say, and through Berlin autumn time, like today is also a Berlin autumn time here, mm-hmm. And we discuss this figure out together, I must say. Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us more about your collaboration through the five films that you've made together? Has it changed? How has it evolved?
And before I made my first picture together with her, I can't stand her really, because she was very popular and famous in Germany with a movie I don't like so much. She was blonde and young and naked in this movie, uh-huh. And I was on a voyage to a producer, yeah, and I had to stay in a very, very cheap motel, yeah, with a salesman and so, yeah, and. And this night, I look at the TV, and there I saw a talk show with her, and she was so intelligent. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And on the next day, the producer asked me who has to play the main character, and I said unconsciously her name. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And he said, "It's great, and you have to take her, and I like her very much." And so, and then we have our first rehearsals, and I have big doubts, yeah? Uh-huh. Because she's I need a seducing woman in this movie, in the first movie, a blonde seducing woman, but she was very, very hard and like a good pupil. She's writing down everything what I talked to her, and there was no seducing and no erotic and such things. Yeah? then we have our first rehearsal with costumes and walkings through parks. And she was so great, and from this moment on, I feel ashamed a little bit about my prejudices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's. I have a dictionary here. I have cigarettes too. I can
great.
Smoke.
You, yes, the important things in life are by your side. Great.
Yeah, and the fantastic thing in this Barbara was that in 1980, in the hospitals in the German Democratic Republic, everybody can smoke. Mm-hmm. Also in a children's station, yeah? Children ward. And it was like a little bit like in a Rock Hudson movie from Douglas Sirk from the 50s, mm-hmm. where Rock Hudson also can sleep in the station or in the hospital. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, that's we have to talk about Nina Hoss. Yeah, and then our collaboration starts. Yeah, and I mean, we make together also a theater, yeah, and there's a really deep friendship, I must say, yeah? Mm-hmm. And it's also an intellectual friendship, perhaps right. Is the right word. We are talking so much about acting and about also philosophy. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I will now open up to questions from the audience. Yes, there's a woman here. Just wait for the microphone, if you
yes.
will. The woman right here in the patterned shirt. Yeah.
I love the tactile reality of what you're showing without any GDR cliches. I love the sofas, the red carnations, the vegetables. My question, though, is about the Werkhof that you have Barbara call extermination camp. Could you give a little more background about what a Werkhof is?
Yes. In German, in West and in East Germany in the 50s and the 60s, you must say that the educators in in areas for young people who are orphans, for example, or who can't live in a social, who are a little bit out of social communities. There are many, many Nazi educators in the East and in the West. And in the East, they are in such, they called it Jugendwerkhöfe, youth camps. Yeah? And this Jugendwerkhöfe, these are really, really, really hard, hard prisons. Yeah? And it's so, in the German Democratic Republic, you have to work. Yeah? You have no, in the West republics, you have the right to work. And in the East, you have to work because only these people who work could be a member of the community. And all the young people with 15, 16, 12, 13 years old who didn't want to work, they come to these camps, and they're really disciplined in a very, very hard way. Yeah? And many, many of them committed suicide or they are vanished, for example. Yeah? It's like a little bit what you can find in Ireland too with the Catholic, in the Catholic homes, yeah? With what they have there. And so this was, and I read about this Jugendwerkhöfe, and I have so many cousins in German Democratic Republic because my parents are refugees, and two of them they have to go to such a Jugendwerkhof, and they come back really traumatic, traumatized. Traumatized. I don't need that dictionary. It lies here, and I look.
You're doing great.
Yes, okay. And it's like insemination. I have a dictionary under my desk, and I feel ashamed about that. And so I need it for this movie because so many young people in the GDR are punished there and destroyed there.
There was a question. Yes, this gentleman here.
Is this a story based on some story about somebody you knew or friends that you, a story that had been told to you? Did it have any basis in anybody's specific reality? I mean, it's a general reality, but.
You're right. It's a general reality, but the general realities are always hard to find when you're writing a script or so. Yeah? And it's so that I read a novel by Hermann Broch. It's a novel from 1933 until the fascists in Germany have won the last election. And it's about, it's also called this novel Barbara, therefore I used the title. And it's about a communist underground girl, a young woman, a doctor who worked in a hospital. And it's a little bit the story from my movie, but when I five years ago I rented a house in the older German Democratic Republic near the sea for the children that they can see some nature and some things, and I met a doctor from who lived there in the 70s and the 80s, and he told me that everybody who wants to leave the German Democratic Republic was punished not in this way that he goes to prison, just perhaps for 1 month or two, but the female doctors, they have to go on the very, very outside in the Providence, yeah? And the male doctors, they become military doctors as punishment. Yeah? And so this novel by Hermann Broch and this story of this doctor from German Democratic Republic together gives me the first kick, yeah? So for this script.
Other questions? I was very curious about the choice of the Chic song, At Last I Am Free, at the end. Which is a fantastic song, but I'm just curious as to why you chose that.
Yeah, during the last 15 minutes of your screening, I heard my own movie, I can't see a picture. Uh-huh. And then I expected the song very chic. It was a very strange situation because you can hear the audience of this live concert mm-hmm. from chic and your audience here, mm-hmm. yeah, together. And I was so lonely here in my room in this moment. Uh-huh. And it was so. I read the autobiography from Nile Rodgers, yeah? mm-hmm. one of the composers of this song. It's one of my favorite songs, I must say. Yeah? And in his biography, he told us he had written down a thing which happened in the 70s in the United States that I think during a baseball in the baseball stadium the DJ of this baseball match said that on the next day all people will bring their disco records to the stadium.
Oh, yes, so, this is a famous anti-disco demonstration in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And he told it, and he said this is the same thing that like the things the Nazis had made with the books. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To do the fire, he was, and so he made out of this song "At Last I'm Free." He makes a new version, yeah? And this is this live version, which changed into a gospel, at least. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And for me, everybody in Germany, so and at each advertisement, each commercial, they said the word freedom and be free to choose your mind, your gas station, be free to choose your restaurant or your cell phone provider or something like that, and everybody has forgotten what freedom is. It's a elementary feeling, yeah? mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. at the end of this gospel version of a disco hit by Chick, yeah, mm-hmm. I feel it. I must say, a little bit hippie way now, the emotional way, when they said to see the sun, to feel the air, like the drops come down on everybody or everyone. These are so simple and so great terms. Mm-hmm. So I was so excited to choose it at the end of the movie. The producer who said it's very expensive, and it was right, it is very expensive, yeah, to choose it. I said, please, let's take Nina Hoss Chopin Nocturne, yeah, at the end of the movie at the credits. And I said, no, this is then Barbara has won the freedom by herself. Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
But if you use chick, yeah, it's something we have to fight for.
Right. No, it's an it's a very powerful way to end the film. Other questions? Yes, there's a gentleman here in the front.
The ending of your film is very moving because she appears to sacrifice her own happiness and her own plans, in effect, to buy the life of one of her patients, freedom. And the suggestion is made, but it's only a suggestion, that this may be because of her growing attraction to her fellow doctor, who we see her fleetingly embrace. But we're not sure. What was your intention here to leave us in terms of her final motivation?
Now this ending of this movie is the first ending I have lost control. Yeah? In the script they have a little dialogue at the end, and the two actors threw this dialogue away. They destroyed the dialogue. Yeah, and they are totally right. I have the feeling because we have shoot this movie chronologically. Yeah, and that it was our last two camera positions at this room in the hospital from those two, and I had the feeling that all explanations all meanings would she stay there? Will she stay there because of love thing? Because perhaps as a sacrifice that she sacrifice herself or something like that? And I can't find the right answer. Yeah? For me, my feeling was that those two, this doctor and Barbara together, André and Barbara together, for me was this feeling that they will build up a new society. Mm. And I'm not a part of the society. They open a door, they go away, they have make a... They ground or found a new society, perhaps a little bubble for 2, 3, 4, 5 persons, but they try it. Yeah? And this has nothing to do with a happy end love thing, yeah? Because I don't know if they will have sex together or they will have children or so. For me, it was a political seduction, yeah? A political erotic in this last eye contact what they have, yeah? They are not crying, they are breathing, yeah, very loud, yeah? I was very astonished about, because this is original sound, yeah? They're breathing as if some really big tension is inside their bodies, and I was so totally impressed, yeah, that after everybody from the team and all the actors after this last shoot, They go away. Everybody wants to be for himself, and I never have made this experience before. Mm-hmm. It's something to do with, there is a fantastic movie by Helmut Keutner, a German director from the 40s, and he made a movie during the last days of Berlin, 1944, 1945. Under the Bridges, it's a German title, is Unter den Brücken, and at least two men and one girl are leaving Berlin. Yeah? You don't know which direction, but you have the feeling that they go away not to be a family or a love couple. They go away to found a new society. This is a dream within the national, within the fascist system, which has a breakdown, a little bubble of survival, mm-hmm. of perhaps socialistic ideas, will never die. A little bit like this, mm-hmm. for me, was the feeling at the end.
Yeah. Other questions? Yes, Jennifer in the center.
Hi, and thank you very much for this wonderful film. I think it had a very strong emotional pulse for me. And my question is whether when you see your films finished at the end and you're watching them, and I trust that you watch them from time to time, whether you continue to be analytical about them or whether you are absorbed emotionally as well, because they're very, very strong, impacting emotional films. And I wonder whether what your feelings are when you see them.
I've seen all my movies once at the premiere, yeah? And then I can't see them for many, many years again. Yeah? But then after 2 or 3 years, I try to see them again, because the first 1 or 1.5 year after I finished the movie, when I watched them, it's a little bit like a narcissistic thing. I see so many mistakes, and to see mistakes is also very narcissistic. Oh, I could done it, did it better, and so something like that. Yeah? But then, for me, Barbara was a little bit. There's another thing around Barbara. It has something to do with the end. What I talk in my answer from the last question, that for me the story, the plot, the emotional waves, also the actors and their moves and their behaviors have changed so that I lost the control, and therefore I could see the movie better than other movies where I think always I have the control before. I was a little bit like this Alfred Hitchcock controller, no? and in this movie I was a little bit I would say François Truffaut a little bit more, the son.
Other questions? Yes, a gentleman in the back.
Following up in what you just said about building up a new society, could you talk a little bit about the reception of your film in Germany today?
Yes. Tomorrow I have to go to the East German town Leipzig, and I will receive their prize. And I have to work for some words. I have to speak in front of the audience tomorrow. And I remember that half a year ago, Leipzig was our first station of our promotion tour. And we all, yeah, Nina and Ronnie and me, we are very, very anxious because but two of us are from the West. We have made a movie about the East. Yeah? And so many movies from the West with West money and West German directors have made used the subject East or German Democratic Republic as a little bit imperialistic, I must say. The winners of the history make a movie and they used them a little bit. Yeah? And so we are anxious, and the reaction was very, very interesting because the people said. Always very emotional, the audience said it was exact like in the movie, the Stasi or the police and the officers and the fear in this country. And the other group said the first movie I've seen that where you can see the German Democratic Republic as a little bit it's a good country, like not a paradise, but you can live there very, very good. There is no finance crisis. There was no finance crisis in the hospitals. You have four doctors to one patient, yeah? And it was socialist. The socialistic alternative was very good, and it was destroyed by the West. Yeah? And so we have both reactions, and this I like very much. We have many, many very tensioned and suspensioned discussions there. Yeah?
Other questions? Yes, woman here in the black. Yes, just wait for the microphone. Please speak into the microphone.
There is an excellent sequence when the two girls, you know, Barbara and the, well, let's call it the hooker, you know, in the room, they meet with the champagne and all that. Well, you know, but it's a parallelism you're doing, because Barbara, in a way, is like a kept woman, you know, with this guy with the Mercedes Benz and getting all the presents and all that. So you know from that moment on that she cannot follow. And besides, he offers, you don't have to work, and she takes pride in her career. So you know that definitely it's not a sacrifice that she will end up loving this man, the doctor, right? Is that so?
Yeah. You're totally right. It was so that the sentence in what this West Germany guy said to her, you don't have to work, I earn enough money for the two of us. This sentence, my co-author Harun Farocki and we want to erase, because it's too pathetic, perhaps a little bit, or too theatrical. Yeah? And then all women who have lived in the German Democratic Republic said, "You're crazy. This is the most important sentence, because this is the relation, yeah? And this is the male imperialism. Yeah? What you can and." It's a male imperialism who looks hedonistic. Yeah? Who said you don't have, you can sleep the whole time through. Yeah? But in reality, there are so many West German women who are living in suburbs, and the Avon girl is coming, and they can choose some things from the internet, yeah? And they can make a Tupperware party, yeah? But and could be soccer bombers later, yeah? But. They are not free. Yeah? And the women in the German Democratic Republic, they worked. Yeah? And they are really, really equal to their male colleagues. Yeah? And this was very important. And the other thing is, everybody who's a doctor in the German Democratic Republic is also a member of a class, of a bourgeoisie. Yeah? And in this hotel room, There's a little girl, I think she's hairdresser or something like that, this prostitute girl, yeah? And both women are sitting on the bed with a champagne glass, yeah, and both are in this situation. Yeah? They are there is no class anymore. Both are women, and the men are the people. The people who have the power? Yeah? And this in this moment, I think Barbara knows that there is no alternative to change the place and go over the border to the West capitalistic system.
Sadly, that's all the time that we have. Christian Petzl, thank you so much again. Thank you for being here. And we look forward to seeing you in a few weeks. All right.
Yes. I forgot to smoke.
Okay.
I want to smoke, yeah, but I forgot.
You can do it in person when you're here.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks again. Good night.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.